I broke the microphone like first time I've been asked to speak. I just put it on, just fell to bits, so I've got this one. It's a real privilege to speak here. I know you guys have like heard me lots of times before, but it's just an honour. And actually, when Ian asked me last week, I was speaking at Port Talbot, and I spoke there a couple of times, but never like preached here. And when he asked me, I thought, the first thing that came into my mind was I'm preaching at the Mothership. It's like, because like Port Talbot is a smaller congregation. So just beam me up, Jesus. Just go. And I just want him, like more than anything, just the presence of God. And that's just what it comes down to, is actually manifested glory in his presence in our lives. And that's just the reason. You know, we're actually born and designed for the glory of God. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we've used that so many times in evangelism. But we've fallen short of the glory of God, not fallen short of salvation. So we've fallen short of his glory. Let me tell you something funny, because if my message is rubbish, at least you'll go away smiling. Okay? Oh, let me put a timer on, wait. Because Becky's right when she said, let him say what you want to say, not what I want to say. Because what I want to say is like 45 minutes. So it's cool. So let's see how we go. Right, so when I first got saved, it was in a church in Hackney. And this is a funny story. Becky's actually heard this like 100 times now, because I told it in Port Talbot. So every time, if I ever go to another church, I'll just always share this story, because it's just like really funny. So when I got saved, my pastor there, Anthony, was in, a church in Hackney. And like after like a couple of weeks, he got me to come up to the front, to come up to the pulpit and read a psalm out. And as you know, when he's just really nervous, like really nervous, he said, Brad, can you read a psalm? Like just on the spot, like, can you come up and read a psalm? And I'm like, oh yeah, I was just really nervous. So I read this psalm out and just kind of got through it the best I could. And, you know, standing up here and in front of a congregation, just sat down and really nervous. And after like a couple of weeks, it's really funny actually. After like a couple of weeks, he said, it's like he led the worship, so he was playing bass. So he was like over here with the worship team playing the bass. And the microphone was there. So he was playing the bass. Microphone was like there, and I was sitting there, okay? So he's playing the bass, and he's nodding to the microphone. So I'm standing there thinking, he wants me to sing. So I'm looking at the microphone, I'm thinking, no, like I can't sing, like I really can't. Like you know when some people say you can't sing, like I actually can't sing. Like it's not like false humility. I actually really can't sing a note. You just need to ask my family, honestly, just ask my girls if I can sing. And like Brody's laughing already, she's in the back just like cracking up because she knows I can't sing. So anyway, he's nodding at the mic. And so I'm thinking, oh, God, new to it. I just picked up the microphone. And so I stood here and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, this could be it, Lord. I couldn't see any words. There's no words there. I didn't know what I was singing. I didn't know the song. And I didn't know the tune, but I'm sure I felt the Holy Spirit. I thought, this is like the anointed. Is this what the anointed is? God, this is my... And I'm singing and I'm doing my best. And I just thought, yeah, that was really, just pride was just rising in me. And like, I thought it was the anointing. I thought it was God. And I'm thinking, I am the worship leader. I'm going to be like, it's not long now. God, thank you. It's not long now before this happens. And so when I sat down... So when I sat down, oh, I'm going to cry. So when I sat down Amp said to me, he said, Brad, that was really good, but I just wanted you to pass me it. It's like, how did that even happen? That is funny. It's a good one. I've not got many like that, or not that I can remember anyway. But anyway, so when Ian asked me to speak, like my message is when I've been speaking in Paul's Hall, but I've never, and like in previous years, I've never had titles. But as soon as he asked me to speak, I just heard the power of dedication. And I was in the van going to work, and I didn't say yes. He just mentioned it, like, do you fancy speaking? And I'm like, oh, you know, speaking in mothership, a bit nervous and stuff. And I just, God was just downloading Hannah, like Hannah's plea, Hannah's relationship with God, how she dedicated her son. And I just couldn't get away for like hours. And it was just, I love Hannah. Hannah's just great. Do you know what? I love the women of the Bible. They're just so, so good. I keep going to cry because I just do, okay? That's just me, okay? So I've got tissues. So the words, so power of dedication, and it's really weird because it's a dedication, and it wasn't like planned. It was planned. It was planned in heaven. It was planned from God, but it wasn't planned for me. I didn't think, oh, I need to think of something that goes in line with the dedication. Are you with me? Like, isn't it great when God does that? I love that. I love being like in his like perfect will and his plan. And I love it when I hear his voice. And I love it when somebody's getting dedicated and then I'm speaking on something that's to do with dedication. It just doesn't happen in the natural. And I've tried to do stuff in the natural, and every time it's never really had like great effects. But when it comes from the Spirit of God, I just really believe that there are people here, and myself included, who are just going to want to respond in their hearts, and they're just going to want to like go for God more. Is that okay? Yeah. Is that okay if we all just come to Him like just wanting to be more dedicated? Yeah. So in the Cambridge Dictionary, this is what dedication means. It means, I'm going to pull some punches as well. Is that okay? So it's going to be hi-ya, like karate chops, and there's going to be a karate chop coming like straight away. Okay? Right, dedication in the Cambridge Dictionary means this: the willingness to give a lot of time and energy to something because it's important. Are you ready for the first kick in love? I'll be able to tell what's important to you and what you're dedicated to by looking at your YouTube history, by looking at your Google history, and looking at your Spotify history. Yeah. That's not in condemnation. This is because God wants to move us on. So 1 Samuel chapter 1, 8 to 15 should be coming up behind there. This is what it says. So then Elkanah, her husband, said to... So we all know the story of Samuel before, because I'm kind of like not starting from the beginning. We all know Hannah, yeah? We know Hannah. And she wanted a son. She really yearned for a son. And God was doing something behind the scenes. And God's always doing something. So we know about... Hey, we're all there, yeah? Well, okay. If you're not, you'll catch up. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Men, take notice of the inconsideration of that comment. Okay? When God is doing something in your wife, you just have to be kind. Not, am I the one, shouldn't I be more important than, well, that's not in my notes. That's one of the things that Becky said. So Hannah arose after they'd finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. See? So let's just look at that. Weeping, so she was weeping. This is Hannah. She wasn't eating anything. Her heart was grieved. She had bitterness of soul. Now check out the next bit. She was praying to the Lord and weeping in anguish. The course of history for the Christian and the church will never, ever, never shifts, never really changes unless these things are in there. Unless there's weeping, unless there's fasting, there's bitterness in your soul in a good way, praying and weeping in anguish. The course of history just never, ever changes unless someone has this mandate upon their lives. Your families, you'll see great change if you have, like Hannah, she wanted a son. History starts to shift in the church and in your families and your relationship when you have these things. Carrying on. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. In her heart. This is where Hannah does Psalm 42. Deep calls out to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. The prayers that get answers are prayers of Hannah. It's something that's happening in her heart. Okay, it's her deep calling out to the deep of God. I know by my experience that when I've prayed, I could pray 2 years about a certain thing and not see anything. But when I come before God with just complete abandonment and surrender and just wanting Him, and I wait and I keep waiting until I sense His deep, yeah, the deepness of Him at the sound of your waterfalls. So deep calls unto deep at the sound of your waterfalls. Now, the voice of Jesus is like many waters. Like His voice, like the sound of your voice is like many waters. I know from experience that when you hear His voice, like when you're underneath His shower of the many waters of His voice, that's when your deep starts to call out to His deep, because we all pray for stuff. But when your deep calls out to His deep, when your heart actually connects with His heart, then you know you've prayed. Like the old days, and we don't talk about it now, and it just has to come back. You know, we used to talk about, well, maybe not even in this generation, maybe like some of you older guys here, and maybe even like your parents, they used to talk about like travail and like praying through. Like there are some times that I spent time with God and I've prayed and I haven't got anywhere. There are other times that I've just sat there and I've waited for my deep to contact His deep. And there have been times in my life when I've prayed for my family and I haven't said anything. And I've just burst into tears, felt the presence of God, been on the floor, and know that that prayer went straight to the heart of God. And this is what Hannah was doing. You see, she wasn't just, oh God, can you give me a son, please? I really want a son because this, that, the other. She was like, there was something in her that God initiated. There was a deepness in her life. And this is what it means when it says she prayed from her heart. It goes on to say, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So not only was she around a husband who was a bit insensitive, but her pastor accused her of being drunk because she was praying. You will never, ever go through church. You will never, ever get anywhere in your Christian walk. You will never get further on with God unless you come and get through difficulties and obstacles that just like a curveball to you. There has to be something that runs so deep in the heart of the believer that if your pastor says something to you, not Ian, we've had it, me and Barb's, like the stuff that we've had that has come away through like leadership, you would just think, but you expect, it's like you expect more and you expect more and you think, oh, they're just a person, you go through stuff, and people have gone through years, you know, by being upset by like people in leadership, and they're just people. And this is what was happening with her. So she was upset, you know, her pastor. I'm looking at this through the lens of the new covenant, you know, okay, because he was like a priest and stuff and covered in blood sacrifices and guess what? Is it then times when God has put something deep in your heart? You'll know how deep it is because if you get offended by someone easily, and that very thing that God put in your heart, you was able to turn away from. And you stopped coming to church and all the rest of it. COVID was supposed to be a time when we grew. Like in here. Like not in here, like in here. I loved it. That sounds really insensitive, goodness. I didn't have to go to work for 5 months or 3 months. So for me, it's just like secret place with the Lord. Just wrecked the secret place as much as I could, just spending time with the Lord and just getting to know him and no agenda apart from him, no church, no meetings, no nothing, just Jesus. COVID was supposed to be a time for the believer. In fact, you can see what happened in your life through COVID. Like coming out of COVID, like do you know him more? Or was you just disappointed that the fact that your schedule and life was messed up? Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. When you're carrying something from God, and if you're not, I recommend that you go to him and start carrying something from him. People will think that there's something wrong with you. When you're truly carrying a burden or a passion for Jesus, like truly, not, do you know what I mean? Like all the time. If there's not people outside of your, if there's not people inside your circle and they're thinking, hang on a minute, what's going on here? This is a bit strange. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why is this person crying more than normal? Why, Dad, what's the matter? Why are you crying a lot more than what you normally do? If there's not something that looks strange on the outside, you haven't got to cry and stuff. But if there's something, do you know what I mean? It's like inconvenience. There's an inconvenience. Like having more of him and being dedicated to him, there's an inconvenience. So if your life hasn't been inconvenienced by him, you need to ask yourself the question, how much do I want him and how much do I know him and how much am I willing to know him? When your life is inconvenienced by him, this is a joy because you'll bump into him more through your day. and then the inconveniences actually become your life. And the inconveniences that God brings actually become the highest point of like the believer's life. Because that's when you start to meet him and encounter him and stuff. I've had times when I just, this is where you say I'm going off at a tangent, okay? But I've got my notes there. So I'm going off at a tangent. Like when you go after him with all your heart and you just want him, like for no other reason than just Jesus, and you want to encounter him, you go from like reading your Bible and looking at all these great men and women of God and people who have gone like before me and before all of us, and I just want more. And I just look at these people and just think, like, what did they do? What happened? And so when you go after him and you keep going after him, like he'll surprise you with stuff. Like there's been times for me, and it's glorious times, when like just simple things like walking up the stairs, he'll surprise you. If you go after him, he'll come after you. Like he's in you all the time and he loves you. But if you really want to go after him and want more of his presence, then he'll surprise you like through your day. Like the times that I can remember, I won't go into all of them. Like when I was walking up the stairs and I just felt, he's wonderful. Like he just loves us. And he just wants to put his glory on us, and he just wants us to feel him. Like what loving father, like I know we don't talk about feelings much because we say, we don't live by feelings. Like if your father loves you, and I know there might be people here who haven't had good experience with fathers, but if your father loves you, like if you ever like, would you not say, look, I love you, but I love you at a distance. I don't want you to feel me at all. That doesn't happen, does it? Well, it didn't happen with my dad, and it doesn't happen with the Lord. So like there'll be times when I was walking up the stairs, and all of a sudden I started getting slower. And I was like, you're going to meet me now. And it's like, I could have just carried on. It was like that little tiny voice, that little tiny feeling. But because I surrendered to it, like, and I'm learning this as I go along. I'm learning the presence of God as I go along. And so what happened, as I just kind of sensed him just a bit, I just sat down on the stair. And as I sat down on the stair, then I just felt his presence. And I was there just worshiping him, just thanking him. He's just like, this is an inconvenience if you want to go to the toilet. Okay? Like your life's going to be inconvenienced if you go after him. But the joy of knowing him and his presence outweighs every single thing. Like my marriage is better now. Like me, the way I act towards my wife and my children is better now, not because I went to a marriage counselling thing, although I'm not against them. My marriage is better now because I'm more in love with Jesus. I really did go off my notes really seriously. So some people think you would have lost it. It's like, it's not business as usual. Let's carry on. So how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. And she didn't care what she looked like. She didn't care that she was just, she had her eyes shut maybe, and she was just like moving her lips a bit in front of people, and she was just like spending time with God, and she was just kind of murmuring, saying, Jesus. I wasn't saying Jesus at the time, probably then. She's saying, Lord, I really want a son, I really love you. But like from a distance, all people can see is that she's, but in her heart, something is happening. There's a deep calling out to deep. And like, I don't know who was there at the time, but she didn't care what she looked like. She didn't care what the outward thing was doing. She just knew that there was something going on in her deep, and she knew that she had a burden for a son, and she knew that God was going to do something. See, she didn't just want a son. This is something that, the Lord gave her. I'm guessing that Hannah was dedicated to the Lord. And the only reason she could fully dedicate us to dedicate her son is that she knew what dedication was. It's really hard to give something that you haven't got. So I believe that she was dedicated to God. And because of that, she just heard God and she said, look, this is my son. I am going to dedicate him. Does that sound familiar? Jesus. A dedicated God who would dedicate his son. So it says there as well that no razor will touch his head. Like, this is called the Nazarite vow. This comes from a vow that was taken. Has anyone heard of the Nazarite vow? The Nazarite vow was, so what happened? I'm smiling because I just, that's it. Like, where are the New Testament Nazarites? So the Nazarite vow was this. It was a special time of consecration to God. So you didn't cut your hair. So no razor would touch his head. You didn't drink anything from the vine. So no wine, no intoxicating drink. And you didn't touch dead things either. So like nothing that was dead, like nothing. Now Smith Wigglesworth used to take this really literally. Like he wouldn't even, which is great because I love stuff like this because it looks religious, but it's not. It's like a covenant. It's like this covenant thing that he had with God. But on the outside, it's like, what are you doing? He wouldn't even have like a dead flower. You know, when you cut a flower and put that in your, he wouldn't even have that because it was dead. He didn't want anything to do with death. It's crazy. So it was a special vow taken by individuals through courses of history. Like Samson was one, Samuel was one, and John the Baptist was one. People, well, they were consecrated to the Lord, not to service, to him. Like they did these special things that they would just say, God, I'm coming to you and I'm just consecrating myself to you. And this is going to be the sign that I'm doing it, because there were a lot of signs and outward stuff and traditions, and do you know what I mean? So what does that look like now for us? Like if you want to, and I really would encourage you, if you want to really come to him and say, God, I'm consecrating, I'm dedicating myself to you, like what does that look like for us? What is that going to look like for you? If it's done with a religious spirit, like forget it, okay? Do not think, oh, I have to read my Bible more. I have to pray more. I have to say more. Okay? What you have to do, you have to look at your word, yeah? And you have to come to Jesus. Do not pray. I'm going to sound a bit weird. Do not pray, but wait. Like every time you open your word, come to Jesus. Don't come to your Bible. Like you're not going to read your Bible. Okay, you're going to have an encounter or want an encounter with Jesus. Because that's what the word of God is. It's so you can actually have encounters with him. Like every time you read the word of God, if it happens to me loads. If nothing happens in that time, then you've just read the Bible. You've just read. If you've come before God and you've prayed and you've just said, God, thank you for this day. I want you to bless this. I want you to bless that. And has anyone ever run out of words when they're prayed and they don't know what to pray? And we just, or is it just me? Because that's what used to happen. I was like struggling really badly to like pray. But he taught me how to pray. He taught me how to spend time with him. And it's like doing a Hannah. It's like your heart. It's just turning your heart towards him rather than the words that are coming out your mouth. Like, I hardly say anything anymore. I don't have to. Because what he says is like so much better than what I've got to say. So when he says something to my deep, I just agree with him. Like when he shows me something in his words, I just, that's it. I've seen more shift in my life by being with him and turning my heart towards him and wanting him than 1,000 words. I very rarely pray for provision now, even though we need it. All the things that I used to pray for, I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for stuff, okay? Like, disclaimer, the Bible says we should pray. God likes it when we pray. But what I'm saying to you is that I used to pray for so many things because I didn't have them, as if God couldn't see that I didn't have them. So I've seen like financial provision for me and my family, yeah, happen more when I've not asked God for money. Because when I'm interested in what he's interested in, he's interested in what you're interested in. And that's what friends do. True. I've seen more miracles and more stuff happen in my life by just turning my heart towards him and just wanting him more than anything that I've ever prayed. And this is what Hannah was doing. This is what her heart was doing. So the Nazarite vow was taken by people who were more wanted to be consecrated to him. Consecrated just means to be set apart. Like you're set apart for him. Because we're supposed to be people that are set apart. You know that, yeah? So we're the church, so like the world is there, we're in the world, but we're supposed to be completely set apart for him. Have you ever heard the saying, you're too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good? All right, so a lie from the devil, okay? You're too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. If you're not heavenly minded, you're of no earthly good at all. The person who said that didn't love Jesus enough and they didn't know him enough. The person who came up with that probably knew someone who was just locked away during COVID for months and months and months just being with him. If I don't have something from heaven, if I don't have something from God, if I don't have a joy in me that comes from him, what have I got to give to the world? Do you see how a lie can sound like the truth, but actually isn't the truth? And we all, you know, that was free. So John the Baptist, he says in Luke 1:80, John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry. So John the Baptist's ministry was like really short. So he was a Nazarite. Yeah. So what he did, look what it says there. It said he grew up and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until his time. Until. So he was in the wilderness. When you're in the wilderness, that's the time to grow. When you're in the wilderness, just like go after him, forget about your circumstances. Sometimes you can't forget about your circumstances, but with your circumstances, whatever that is, be in the wilderness. Like, away from people, lock yourself away for times each day and just go after him. And it says that John the Baptist grew in spirit until his time for public ministry. And he did that because he was a Nazarite. So he was the only person who actually spoke about Jesus as being the bridegroom. Like, which is weird for a man. Because I have a husband, and his name is Jesus. And I just want a greater revelation of me being his bride. So it's like it goes beyond a friend. It goes beyond something that's very, very romantic. And it's a man saying, I'm in love with another man. Because he's the Son of God. Isn't he wonderful? There's no one like him. So 1 Samuel, so I keep saying 1 Samuel, so 1, chapter 1, verse 20. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked the Lord for him. So if you're dedicated and consecrated, yeah, it's the process of time you'll conceive. So look what it says. So it came to pass in the process of time. So Hannah was dedicated in the process of time that she conceived. So when you're dedicated to God, don't go for what you're going to conceive. Just let him create the baby inside of you. So in the process of time. Ladies, I do not need to remind you what childbirth is like. I do not need to remind you what pregnancy is like at all. But men, we also need to understand this as well. This way we can make our wives happier when they have more children. And as soon as I said that, there she walks. 25, Lord. So into the process of time, you'll conceive, you'll give birth to something that comes from another place. So if you're dedicated to him and you want him and you're consecrated to him, you'll give birth to things that come from another reality, because heaven, that's what heaven is. It's another reality. But we have that, we can have that reality inside of us all the time. So you need to look at this like for your families, and you need to look at this for like your own personal relationship with him. What do you want to conceive like in your life? Like, what do I want to see happen in my family? And what do I want to see happen in my church? And what do I want to see happen in Wales? Like different levels of conceiving things. They're different babies for different times and different seasons. So 21 to 22 says this. Now the man Elkanah and his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. Now this has never happened to me before, but this is really cool because it's like a prophetic thing that God wants to say to some of us here. When I was writing this down, he said, this is a prophetic statement for someone. We need to yet again appear before the Lord and remain there forever. Like we need to, some of us here, we need to appear before God, yeah, and you need to remain there forever. Like not keep going back and forward and back and forward and back and forward. So this is the word to some, it's me as well, goodness. He's like, appear before him and remain there forever. So chapter 3, 1 to 4 says this. Now the boy Samuel, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up because it just feels good. Is that okay? It feels right. Is everybody okay with this message? Is this okay? Can I get the worship team to come up? Because like this, how you doing? You okay? Good. Like he dedicated, what a wonderful baby. Do you know what? It's just what, I was thinking this earlier, it's just what Wales needs. Yeah? A female from Indian heritage that speaks Welsh to have the word of God in her. Like, what kind of combination is that? That's crazy. So, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that when you just like pray and fast, like have times with, where's your wife? She's gone. So, like, with your, you, so this is all on you at the minute, okay? So you're going to have to tell her, right? So have times, yeah, when you're probably going to do this anyway. I'm probably preaching to the choir. So have times when you fast for her, yeah, and you pray for her, and you say, God, just do something in her. Lord, we want you to just give her, just keep giving her to God, like all the time. If Wales doesn't need like a prophetess that just looks the way she does, with the skin tone, and sounds like, because she's going to have a Welsh, if you say she's going to have a Welsh accent, it's like, that's a combination from heaven already. That has to be. That's like crazy. Or someone who speaks the word of God. So Lord, we just pray for her, Lord. Yeah, you guys can start, just whatever. I've just got like some, just play and then we'll see what happens. Lord God, we pray for her, Lord. That she would have her word, that your word in her, Lord. That these two parents will just be like Hannah, and she will grow strong in the Lord. And for everybody else here as well, with children. Yeah, actually everybody who has young children. Actually, wait, everybody who has children, or everybody who wants children. Lord, we just pray this, Lord, that you will give us the spirit of Hannah, Lord, to just dedicate our children, to dedicate the people that are offspring to you, that they will grow in your word, that they will grow in might and counsel and in the fear of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And it says in chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, it says this. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Now listen, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. So the word in them days, it was rare. There was like hardly any revelation. There was hardly any of the word of God. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was laying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was laying down, that the Lord called Samuel. So what has happened is that the word of the Lord has come back. It's come back because someone was dedicated. And it will come back to you when you're dedicated. Like stuff comes back when you dedicate yourself to him. Like two books were written. Like these were ordained by God, they're in the Bible, because like a woman dedicated herself. A great prophet came into history. The voice of the Lord increased and revelation became more widespread because a woman interceded and she gave her everything, and she gave her commitment, and she gave her son. So we'll come before, I'm going to come before God now, whether you are or not. I don't know about you guys. Like I'm up for this. So we'll close our eyes and just come before him. So Lord Jesus, we come before you now, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for your commitment to us, your dedication to us. And Lord God, we rejoice because of you. So what I'm going to ask is that if you're here today and you want to, I'm actually going to ask you to swipe. Before I say this, I'm going to give you a warning. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, okay? I'm actually going to ask you to stand. Like, Hannah didn't care what she looked like. Like, if you're not going to respond, then don't respond, okay? But, like, in this time, let it not be a weakness of respond. A weakness of response. Like, we're going to stand. Only stand if you want to stand, okay? Hannah didn't care what she looked like. If we can't stand and can't come before God because if this, what I've said, is touching your hearts, if we can't do that, then what have we got? If we can't stand before the living God and say, God, I'm coming to you again today because I want to be more consecrated. If we're worried about what we look like because we stand, have we really got anything? So Lord Jesus, we come to you. So what I'm going to ask, I'm already standing. Look, I'll do it. Look, I don't care. I'm sitting down. So Lord Jesus, we come to you, Lord, and we stop looking at the preacher, Lord. We stop looking at me. And Lord, we come to you today. So if you're here and if I'm here and we're all here, if you want to say to the Lord, Lord, we want to be more dedicated to you. We want to press into you, then stand. Okay, so I'm standing. If that's you, just stand. Don't stand because I've stood. Just stand because you want to come to him. So Heavenly Father, we worship you. And Lord God, in this next song, Lord God, we want to come to you. We want to give our lives to you, Lord. We want to come to you like we've never done before. Lord, give us something, Lord Jesus, Lord, burn inside of us, Lord God. So Lord, we worship you, Lord, as the team just plays, Lord, whatever's going to happen now, Lord, just let your hearts just go up to him now and just say, Jesus, we come to you afresh in the wonderful name of Jesus, Lord, for your glory, for your power, Lord God, for your kingdom. We come to you, Lord Jesus. Let's worship him in this time.